Greg, I sat down to flesh out a few questions to talk about Bill, and I found that I was staring off into the distance a little bit. I knew the man personally, very fond memories of him, and it's kind of stunning.
Yes, it is. We're all stunned and we're all shocked and we're all very saddened by this. And he was frail. He had been frail for about a year and he wasn't getting around very well. His feet were bothering him and, the various ailments of older age. And he was not robust anymore. We always remember him as so robust and such a wonderful raconteur and party giver. And a man who surrounded himself with friends all the time. So in the last year or so, his retreat from that was marked. We all knew that. And so we felt he was moving into a different stage in his life. So we were all kind of shocked. It happened on Monday night.
Let's talk a little bit about drama, a topic he had such a passion for. Maybe you could talk about Bill's love of theater.
Unquestionably, one of the most passionate theater personalities I've ever met in my life. Since you know him, he was irascible and he could be very challenging. And his sense of humor was incredibly wicked, especially if you were the object of his scorn or humor. But his love of theater was always it always shone through. I've been here for 25 years, and I think he may have designed at least 10 shows for the rep. So we worked very intimately together for a very long period of time, and he always had the right answers. He was always what I was loved about Bill. He was always a page ahead of me, so I would learn from him as a director. He helped me learn what the play was about, what its place was on the stage, and so I would just very often, and I'm delighted to admit that I would follow his lead where the play would go. For example, A Streetcar Named Desire, which was one of his absolute best, lovely designs. We would talk about Tennessee Williams and we would talk about Blanche DuBois. And he always had great insight for a director on that stuff. And also, when we devised and put together To Kill a Mockingbird, which we've toured three times, the set was just marvelous. It was a marvelous way of creating that town in Alabama, or Macomb, that actually existed on a stage 60 feet by 20. He was a brilliant, brilliant designer. And he would always find a wonderful angle to make it all work because of his analysis and his vision for any particular piece. It was uncanny.
You said Streetcar was one of his best designs, in your opinion.
Yeah.
What makes for a good set designer?
That's a great question. Many things. First of all, an aesthetic sense of beauty, which he had in spades. The stage picture that he could create, and his sets were always very easy to light because they were so. He was very structural. He liked to use metals, and so they were very structural. So they took light really, really well, shadows and shading and depth through lighting design. But it was also a director always wants a great playground for the actors to scamper about and do their things and. Bill was great at creating space for the actors to work. That's one of the hidden arts of a designer, is not just to create something beautiful, but a great place for actors to play on and a director to conceive with. And he was always very good at that, too. So the space was always very amenable to very creative work for the actor.
He worked freelance in California for several years, I know that. Taught at the University of Montana for some 27 years. What sort of an instructor was he for young people?
Well, Facebook at this point in time is full of accolades about his students are responding en masse to his passing. And words like inspiring, challenging, wicked sense of humor, but like we've been talking about this morning, always with a sense of great love of the game and the creative process. And I think a great teacher doesn't just give you information, but teaches you how to think. And that was always very important to Bill. How do you, as an independent student, artist student slash student, how do you learn to make the decisions yourself to advance your career as an artist in the theater, design, acting, props, lights? He would challenge you to think on your own two feet, and come up with your own solutions. And I think that's the mark of a great teacher.
And as you've already mentioned, as much as he loved theater and drama, he was also, I'm going to use the word, a brutal critic. If he thought something was no good or lax or lazy, he would say so, and in no
Absolutely.
uncertain terms.
Absolutely. You always knew where you stood with Bill. He didn't mince words, And if he didn't like something, you knew it.
Oh, did you? Music, another one of his passions.
My goodness. His collection, which is now at the Mansfield Library.
Is it?
Yeah. I've never seen anything like it, as you know, because you've been to his house. It was a full room, row after row after row of CDs. Extensive. You know, some people go to a bar, have a drink. Some people buy clothes. He would get CDs. Mm-hmm. And his knowledge of classical music, as you know, was encyclopedic. And he used to have soirees at his house.
Oh, my God.
Jan Holmes, a dear friend of all of ours, would come and play, and Schubert was very often on the bill. And we'd sit around. He created a piano room, added a lovely salon to his house so that we could come on Sunday afternoons and listen to live music, classical music, quartets, trios.
And those parties, my goodness, the man could pour a martini.
He could pour a martini. He could make a great souffle. He knew French cooking, any kind. He was a great chef and a great raconteur, and he knew how to bring people together. When you're sitting at a table, a dinner table, with who Bill would assemble, was always a lot of interesting conversation and so much laughter. So much laughter. I remember falling off my chair once. Well, it's a combination, probably, of a number of things.
And you've already mentioned, but how could we possibly talk about Bill Rowell without mentioning his sense of humor? It was quick, it was clever, it was razor sharp. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, nothing got past him. But yeah, it was such a wonderful conversation, whether it's one-on-one, which we did a lot of because we were pals, and or in a dinner situation or in a cocktail party or in a faculty meetings. Mm. Faculty meetings, he was unparalleled.
Why?
Well, he would always, because faculty meetings can be kind of, business-like and droll, but he always injected some kind of humor. Never took anything too seriously. Yeah, he would catch something and comment on it, and as we're talking about, he would let you know what he felt. He would make us laugh, and that was such a valuable thing in a faculty meeting, to be able to laugh.
My last time I saw him, my wife and I were in Costco early this summer. We were just walking by. He grabbed my arm. I didn't see him. Whispered something completely vulgar and completely hilarious in my ear. And I just, it was good to see him again. Yeah.
As they say in the trade, he did work blue.
Last question, Greg, and that is, knowing Bill, I can't fathom he'd possibly be interested in a somber, formal memorial.
You're absolutely right. He would chafe at something very heavy and formal. I think there are some things in the works that I just don't know enough about right now. Dale, his ex and his best friend, is back in town. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman and a very successful actress in Los Angeles. She's back in town. I think she's going to be arranging the details of the whatever happens. And we're planning something here at the School of Theater and Dance as well. But I'm just not – it's been – so recent that I think Mike Monsos, who's the director of the school, we're putting something together, but for future notice. We'll keep everybody apprised of what we come up with.
I do have one last question, and that was Bill's uniform. He did not have a wardrobe. He had blue jeans, a pair of old, sneakers, I guess, and that blue denim, blue collar work shirt with the name tag that wasn't even his name.
Wasn't usually his name.
Yeah. What was that about?
He decided at a certain point in his life that that wasn't important to him. So the whole concept of a uniform is you don't have to think about it. You just put it on. And I think in his closet, he had 7 blue shirts and he had the jeans. And I remember when I first moved here, it was his 50th birthday and he was wearing a tux. And he said to me, because I had just moved here. This is 1990. He said, you will never see this again. You will never see me. And this is for my 50th birthday, and I'm doing it for Arlen Fishbaugh, who is his best friend. And I said, fine. And he was right. I never saw him in anything but the blue. And we did a one day here about 7 or 8 years ago where everybody in the school wore the blue and blue uniform. It was hysterical.
Marvelous.
It might have been his birthday. I think it was his birthday. It was hysterical. Yeah. When you wear a uniform, that's all you have to think about. And he had so many other things on his mind. Theater, music, making up nasty jokes. Wardrobe was not something he thought about, which I admire. I admired that.
Bill Rowell, 76 years old, left us this past Monday. I miss him, and we'll never see another like him.
We won't. And we all miss him terribly and wish him Godspeed.